Hello, time travelers. Welcome to the Aging Journey podcast, an actual play podcast where we go back in time and play RP games themed around time and growing up in a variety of systems. I am your game master, Tanya, and this is The Red Bridge, a children's fantasy adventure using the Kids on Bikes system inspired by works such as The Phantom Tollbooth, Alice in Wonderland, Jumanji, and The Wizard of Oz. We are playing Kids on Bikes, a tabletop role-playing game that allows players to explore a mysterious and supernatural world set in a small town during the 1980s and 90s. Our players embody characteristics called tropes and roll dice based on their brains, brawn, fight, flight, charm, and grit. The higher the stat, the better their skill. Each player has a top stat where they roll a d20 and a bottom stat where they roll a d4. In this game, dice explode, where if you roll the maximum on a die, you get to roll again, infinitum. Our players for this campaign were made from scratch, and tropes are custom. There may be mature content depicted in our gameplay, but the players and I are using safety tools, and all content warnings will be in the description below. You can listen to the audio of the podcast on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, or the Aging Journey website, or watch it on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter, join our Discord, or support us on Patreon. All links will be in the description. Also, don't forget to subscribe. Well, I think that wraps up the spiel. Enjoy the journey.
The summer is over, the crab apple season has ended, and high school has begun. Welcome to Madonna High School. Originally built as a warehouse to house the apples from the apple orchard, then later converted to a high school in 1927. The high school's name is rumored to have been named after the Madonna Convent that used to run the orchard, now named the Silver Creek Orchard. So let's recap real quick the wild, like, first hour of the first day of school, where we met our teenagers, Willow, Caleb, Duke, and Timmy, do some very interesting things on their first day. Willow caused quite a racket, particularly having to do with the school's landscaping. This did eventually, though, lead to her disappearing with the Vice President Sanchez, who turns out to seem to be like a kind and whimsical woman who promised Willow a place that she could feel safe. Duke kind of fell into a crowd of skater kids who later invited him to hang out with them at lunch. As we all know, is the highest honor of high school. And Caleb and Jimmy, well, they had a couple of strange encounters, made some interesting discoveries in their own adventure. However, now we are back in August of 1996. It is orientation week at Madonna High School, still the very first day of high school for our teenagers. And this is the hour of chaos for new students. The crowd has calmed down, though, at this point. So the main courtyard that was, like, overflowing with students is now actually being packed up, because that was only the first, you know, wave of people coming and getting their books and getting their looking at clubs and getting their schedules. Everyone has all their things. And as you are all, wherever you are, doing whatever you're doing, you hear the first bell ring. And there's a chime that goes off over the intercom. And over the intercom, you all hear Principal Drescher's voice. And it says, "Good morning, Madonna High School. This is your principal, Miss Drescher. And welcome to the class of 1996. Welcome back, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, from your break. I want to remind everyone that we have a long and strong history here at Madonna. With our colors orange and blue, we hope you take as much pride in the Madonna school spirit as our fantastic administrators and teachers. Today is the first day of your journey. We hope you enjoy it. As she ends that announcement, a second bell rings and you all hear a separate voice come over the intercom. And it just goes, 10 minutes until assembly. Please find your schedules. Begin making your way to the auditorium in the east wing of the school. Again, 10 minutes until assembly. And then the intercom shuts off. Wherever you all are right now, you kind of see people do a multitude of things. A couple of people are already starting to head to the auditorium. Other people are just kind of still like waiting for maybe some of their friends that have gone to other parts of the school. But there's a myriad essentially of activity. People have heard the announcement and they are making their way to the main assembly hall, which is in the auditorium in the east wing of Madonna High School. Before I ask what everyone's doing, Willow, I need you to make a grit check. DC is going to be 9.
There. All right.
A 10. Okay. I am going to, I should be able to turn on this map and you all should see it. So give me a second when I make it. I should be able to show party and you should be able to see it. Yeah. Oh, seems too big. You guys can zoom out the map, by the way. If you go up top, there's a zoom button to zoom it out. Because for some reason, when it comes in, it's really big. Okay, that's too small. Okay. But hopefully you guys should see now a map, correct? And there's a whole bunch of little squares on it.
I see it.
Okay. That's a lot of square.
Yeah, this is a... I mean, for a small town or a small medium town, this is a pretty big school with a lot of people. So the assembly is being assembled. The assembly is kind of getting packed in right now, but like outside of the actual like assembly area of the auditorium, there's still a couple of people just like lounging around and waiting. So you guys can put your tokens on the map, and how you do that is you would go up top, click on the tokens button, and it'll show you the token you would like to do. Pendle, I believe you are already, you're already on here because you are in the main area right now. And I think I can share yours with you so that you can move it later. Let me check that.
Where'd match it?
Oh, does it what? I wonder why. Okay.
Too many.
Why are there two of me?
That's what I was
like. Called. I said, I made too many.
I can delete them.
Okay.
Willow, are you having issues putting your token on?
You gotta click it and then click it on the map of it.
No, I'm just like, I'm just like,
I can put you on there and then you can move it. So you're on there already.
Yo, who is that guy?
What guy?
The one who's like in the corner of the main auditorium, the top right.
Don't move my box.
I'm just trying to put my hand down, but it's not working. Okay, oh, there it is.
Stop moving my.
I know, okay. I'm sorry. I was trying to move mine and then kept moving the other one.
Okay, I will move you. I'm actually going to move you. Oh my gosh, there's two of you. My goodness. I'm going
to... Oh, no, that's too many.
I'm actually going to move you... Oh, my... Why is there 12 of you?
Wait, what? Wait, there's like... I don't...
Okay, I
can... We can't handle that many willows.
Really? I'm actually going to move you, like, in this black box, because you are currently not anywhere near the... The last thing you remember, Willow, is that you followed Vice President Sanchez into her back room, essentially, or a place that she told you that you were going to be able to chill for a while if you ever felt too anxious. And she showed you around the place. And that's the last thing you remember. And that's, at this point, the last thing you all remember as well that was happening. So we will resolve you, Willow, in a moment. But let's look at the scene of, like, where everybody is right now. So, Jimmy, you were in the library. So Maya is in the library right now.
This is
there are a couple of people who are already at their seats. And then there are a couple of people who are walking around. So I'd like everyone to right now be outside of the auditorium and then move yourself, like in the hallway to, you know, on your way in. And then Jimmy, you are still in the library right now. Okay. Is that where you last were?
I don't know if my thing is laggy or just janky.
I don't know either. Here. There you go. You're there.
Okay.
Here. You're there. Okay. Okay. So this is what you all are seeing as you come into the east wing of the school. Fendel, you are already sat in the auditorium because you got here first, among all the people that came in first, because you like to be punctual. However, in the hallways, as like Maya and Jimmy are in the library, you guys were just kind of checking out a section. Maya is actually going to go and check out a book real quick that she was waiting on. And then, she would be expecting you two to go together to the auditorium. And then there's like a couple of stragglers who are taking their time that are also in the library. They're not looking at books. But you guys can see that there are different types of essentially like groups of people. So we got the skater kids. We got the preppy curls. And then we have a new one that I literally made specifically because of Willow's shenanigans. They're called the tree climbers. And then we also have, I think we have, what are they called? The book nerds? The book nerds. So that's kind of the four categories of, you know, tropes that you're kind of seeing that the majority of the school is made out of. And then you have people that you can actually interact with. Like, you can interact with everyone, but when you, like, look over at a jock, you're literally looking over at a group of jocks. So, like, 3 to 4 of them that are, like, together, and they're already hanging out. So in the hallway, we have some jocks and some preps who are on their way. They're just taking their time. We have some skater kids. Juke, as you kind of come into the hallway, you realize that the skater kids are looking for you. So these are some kids that in between meeting you or seeing you at the beginning of the, before the bell rang and when everyone was just outside seeing the interesting girl climb the tree and start a whole movement. They then, you know, started talking to people as they walked around the school and stuff and realized that you are one of the Apple Nuns. And so they're actually there, like, looking to, like, spot you so that they can make sure they can sit with you. So that's who these skater kids are here in the hallway. Okay. And then for Willow, you're not here at this moment, but Willow, there are also some tree climbers here in the hallway.
Followers.
They are also specifically waiting. They're like literally like, hey, where's that girl that was like, they're literally looking for you to make sure that like they can sit with you when you come. So that's why some of the people are in the hallway. So that's kind of what you guys see in the hallway. Maya, I'm going to say she gets her book and she meets back up with you, Jimmy. And she's just kind of like, I'm ready to go. So that's where you all are right now. A lot of people have already funneled into the auditorium, and the people who are already seated have been there like early. So way before the bell rang, probably right after they got all their stuff, knowing that they had to go to the auditorium, they went. And then as you guys walk in, you can let me know if you want to just like wait at the back and like survey the area, like survey the auditorium to see like what you see, who you see, and then make your choice on where you want to sit, because everyone is going to go into this auditorium. So eventually these spots will be taken. So that's how we're going to kind of do it. So right now, Jenny, all you can see is what's in the library. And Duke, all you can see is what's in the hallway. And both of you need to get to the auditorium to actually like scope out where you want to sit. So go ahead and find yourself seats in the auditorium.
I'll probably like, if I collide with those other skaters that are in the hall, I'll probably like.
Oh yeah, they beeline to you. Let's say they're on their skateboard. This is a long hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they literally skate to you once they notice you.
Well, I don't have mine today.
I'm gonna say, actually, go ahead and roll a charm, but the DC is gonna be like 3.
Okay, that's possible.
As they notice you don't have your skateboard.
Oh, okay, I got a 4. I'm gonna re-roll it. 8. That's a 10 altogether.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, one of the guys sees you don't have your skateboard. Doesn't even ask. He just hands you his skateboard. Yeah, man, no problem. You can just borrow mine. Do you need my skateboard? And then another guy is like, actually, like, your skateboard sucks. My guy, like, you should take my skateboard. So there's two people fighting to give you their skateboard.
I'll probably start off being like, no, it's cool. I have a board. I my dad drove me today, but eventually I'll probably like take one just to, I mean, that was a lot of luck on that charm roll and not that good at dealing with people. So
that's unfortunate because, they're going to be like, oh no. Okay, cool. Sorry. We didn't even mean to, no, we get it. Of course you have a skateboard.
Yeah. No, I'll take one eventually. But I will point out that my actual skateboard I've had for a long time, and the bottom of the deck is actually painted by Willow.
Oh, that's adorable.
Even though I don't have it with me right now.
I don't have it right now, but if I had it with me, it'd be really adorable. Yeah. Okay, so you can go inside. They will to let you go in first and trail behind you.
Nice. I think I'll probably join up with the other skaters there in the back row.
Okay. I will say that as you walk in and you go over to the skaters, the other skaters are going to be on the other side of you. That means that there's someone in front of you, a group of people to the side of you and to the other side of you, which basically means that Jimmy, once you get there, there won't be any seats next to you. So just keep that in mind. That's why I made some of these things big, to give you an idea of scale.
Not that you would choose that seat anyway.
I'm like, that is fine.
Well, I was going to say, like, Jimmy, you don't know where Vale is yet, but you're about to. Okay, so I'm going to say Maya is ready. So Jimmy, if you want to go ahead and choose your seat. And I'm going to say that as Maya walks in, she seems to be looking for someone in particular. And I think she kind of surveys the auditorium, and inside the auditorium, as I said, it's starting to fill up. But Jimmy, as you go in, you are also kind of surveying with Maya to just find seats. Maya sees who she's looking for, and she's about to like go to the right side and go down to the seat she wants to go to. And she's kind of like beckoning you to come with her, like, oh, Jimmy, I have found some space. So she's going to go down there. But as you walk with her, if you decide to do that, you are going to see Vale sitting in the two back rows. And then all of you kind of can see, as you either sit down or are walking in the auditorium, you can see that the principal and vice principal are in the way front. They're literally on the first row. And then you also see a whole bunch of other people coming in and shuffling to their seats. You also see on stage are 3 students who are sitting in like plastic chairs. They all are kind of like prim and proper, wearing really nice, cute like shoes and clothes, and they look really like put together. And there's a podium, like a wooden podium with a microphone on stage. And that's kind of what you guys see. And so if you want to see, if you're looking for anything in particular as you take your seat, then we can kind of look at if you'd like to roll something. But Jimmy, are you going to go with Maya, or are you going to try to find another seat?
I think Jimmy's going to follow Maya unless he sees Willow somewhere in the auditorium already.
I will say that if you're looking for Willow, at the moment you don't see her anywhere.
Okay. Well, I'll follow Maya and make sure to leave a space open in case Willow wants it.
Perfect. Okay.
So Maya, might as well leave two spaces in case Kayla wants to join us.
Good point. So now you are all in the auditorium except for Willow, of course. And Maya, you come up to someone who is sitting on the far end, but in the front, not on the first row, but in the second row. And it is a young boy sitting there. And so Pendle, you see your cousin come up and she sort of like waves at you and starts to walk past you to sit on the other side of you since you're sitting on the end. And with her is Jimmy, why don't you explain what you look like as you come to meet this new kid?
Yeah. How tall is Pendle?
Great question.
I'm assuming very average.
Fair. Well, then in that case, Jimmy is like 3 inches or potentially more shorter than you. He's a very short kid. You can see he's got kind of messy hair, and he's wearing a pair of cargo pants with some holes in the knees. All around looks like he spends a lot of time outdoors.
Excellent. Maya comes and sits next to you, Pendle, and Jimmy, you sit next to her, and she sort of looks over at you. Again, Pendle, you've already been seated at the auditorium, but you see that Maya is holding a book as she kind of sits down next to you, and she holds it in her lap. She kind of looks at you, and she's like, hey, weren't you working on that weird thing? You got it working yet?
No.
All right. And she kind of looks over at Jimmy. And she goes, Jimmy, my cousin, Pendle, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Hey. And Jimmy just kind of gives you like that glance of like appraising, trying to take your measure.
What does Pendle look like?
I'm just going to go, Pendle looks like the picture, except for, he looks like he's had a few too many energy drinks. Big afro, sweatshirt, pants covered in paint and random patches of tape. And he's holding what used to be a Game Boy and is now a undescribable mess of plastic.
I think Jimmy would definitely see that and be curious.
Yeah, Maya's sitting in between you guys, and she can clearly see the interest, and she kind of like leans over at you. Yeah, Pendle's kind of like into some interesting things, like computers and wires and making stuff. But also into some other interesting things. And she kind of like tries to hint at you without saying anything. But she's like, yeah, so. And then she kind of looks up at the stage. Is this supposed to be starting in like a couple of seconds here? I want to also see if Juke, as Maya and Pendle and Jimmy are talking. Juke, did you notice Jimmy walk past? And Jimmy, did you notice Juke? Did you guys like look at each other, notice each other at all?
How obvious is Juke being just hanging out with the skater guys? I think, yeah.
I mean, he's right there in the back where the entrance is. So unless you literally, when you were walking down the stairs, you didn't turn to look at the rest of the room, and you wouldn't recognize him from the back of his head. Type of situation.
And I mean, go ahead.
Can I like ride that really good charm roll forward and say that I'm like holding court right now? Like, like I've I've been like practicing stories about the Apple Nuns opening for the Rapscallions in St. Louis for the past month that I've been grounded. Ooh. And I'm like just throwing them all out there at the people who are newly interested in me.
Okay.
So you might overhear like Apple Nuns talk.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then with that, I would say, Jimmy, you 100% notice that Juke is literally sitting in the middle of these skater teens who are enraptured by everything he's saying. It's very odd as you walk past. Juke, would you take a moment to pay attention to anyone else but your entourage?
But yourself.
I mean, I might notice like as he goes by walking down the aisle, but I don't think I would like turn around and see him or anything like that.
Okay.
I would say if you did, you would notice him pointedly ignoring you. The All like right. he's seeing you and is just not giving you any attention.
Burn. Okay. I think that's good. I think there's like a Duke is kind of in his own world, but he notices Jimmy. You know, you're walking past it, he kind of glances at you and can see the obvious burn from Jimmy.
Is that blonde kid sitting in front of me interested in the conversation at all?
Interesting. Yeah, Val. So, Jimmy, as you were walking past, I'm going to say that Val kind of, like, he sees you walk past and everything, but he doesn't say anything to you. So he doesn't say anything, but, you know, that may be because if you guys are paying attention, as the room begins to fill up, he has positioned himself to sit near certain people. Okay. So he's trying to essentially, you know, schmooze or whatnot. So I'm going to go ahead and fill in. Ooh, getting full in here. We'll say we have this. So there's not many spaces. Most people don't want to sit in the way front, obviously. But also there are some spaces that are specifically held for like teachers up at the front. So it is packed now, full of everyone. And now Jimmy and Juke, if you guys were to kind of just cast your eyes around, you would notice that Willow is still not here. But as you all converse, Juke with your entourage and Kendall and Maya and Jimmy, you can see that everyone starts to kind of settle because the door's shut in the back. And there are doors, there are some double doors up front to the side, but they're like emergency exit doors and they're already closed. And standing next to them is one of the teachers. She has kind of like mousy features and brown hair. And one of the girls on the stage actually gets up from her seat. She walks over to the podium and it is, I'm going to move her. There's not an actual podium here, but I'll show you who it is. She kind of comes up to the podium and the mic and gives the audience a big smile and everyone kind of quiets down. And she just says to everybody, "Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Orientation Week Assembly. As many of you know, my name is Perfect Wolf, and I am your student council president. I want to welcome our freshmen to Madonna High School, and of course, welcome back our upperclassmen. Principal Drescher," and she simply has her arm outreached for the principal to come up to the stage, which she does. Now, I think everyone has seen Principal Drescher because she was called when Willow was having her whole thing. But this is probably the first time everyone has seen her. So she is a late 50s, early 60s thin woman who is fairly short. She's like average height. She has some salt and pepper straight hair, and she is wearing glasses, and she has a strange smile on her face that looks like that maybe throughout the year she may have gotten a little bit of plastic surgery. And so her smile is particularly like juicy. You know, she's got good cheeks for her age, but it kind of looks also a little off. So that's what you guys kind of see come up to the stage. And she stands in front of the podium and kind of takes over from Perfect, who goes back to her seat with the other two ladies that are also sitting there. And you see Principal Drescher. And so she kind of just looks out at everyone. She goes, "Hello, Madonna High School. I am your principal of 5 years now, and it's been an honor and a privilege to watch over the best and brightest of Shady Creek graduate from our high school. I would first like to just introduce our administrators and staffs that, you know, you guys will be learning from for the next 4 years." And so she says that little spiel and actually like asks some of the staff to come in. And you see a couple of the staff members like come over to like the main area here to just kind of stand here so that everyone can see them as she tells you their names. And you both, well, everyone kind of notices that there's a staff member that kind of slips in from the emergency exit. And he also comes and stands here. There's also, I'm missing somebody. Missing, I'll hear you.
Willow? Question mark?
No, missing the coach. And then there are like other people here, but they're not important, so they don't have pictures, as I do. But anyway, so all of the staff and the administrators and like the receptionist, all of them come to the front so that everyone can see what they look like. And they are essentially introduced. So you have the coach. His name is Coach Markham. You have the vice principal, Sanchez. You have a Miss Pinkert, Mr. Benson. She also mentions Miss Sandy, who is the librarian, and Miss Vera, who is the principal's assistant, as well as like the front desk administrator. And then she says that like the smaller sections or like the uncommon sections, like, you know, the foreign language class, they're all taught by like TAs from like the college in St. Louis. Like they come down and teach. So this school doesn't have that many like full-time like teachers. They have probably like 7. So she announces those, and you guys kind of see a mix of people. Most of you have seen Coach Markham. He's kind of a greasy looking coach with usually wears a baseball cap and, you know, his orange and blue jumpsuit suit like all the time, regardless of whether he's teaching PE that day or not. He's kind of standing there looking out at all of you. You also see a young woman with mousy brown hair. Her name is Miss Pinker. Juke, you would notice that you do recognize this woman. It is not Mr. / Mrs. Pinkard from the middle school. This is her daughter. And you would recognize her because you've seen her picture in the principal's office. And then there is Miss Vice Principal Sanchez, who you both saw take Willow, you know, after that whole fiasco. She is here again, but Willow isn't. And then you also see kind of like somebody who looks like they should not have been hired to work with children. This gentleman is literally wearing sunglasses inside. He has like a dusty like leather jacket, and he's wearing like dirty slacks. And he clearly looks like he's either just had some alcohol or just smoking. And he looks like he does not want to be here. And that is Mr. Benson. So you all kind of take in everyone as she introduces them one by one. And that is essentially, you know, the beginning of the assembly. And I will kind of have them all take a seat after she's done. And she goes back to kind of talking with all of you. And so she goes on to continue to say, "Finally, we have a special guest here today to kind of just welcome you all to the school year. I'm sure you're all familiar with our wonderful vice chair of the festival planning committee." And as she says that, she starts to like clap, and everyone just like, you know, starts to clap out of obligation. She continues, she's like, "They did a beautiful job on the festival this year. It's one of our most successful yet. So please join me in welcoming Miss Shelly Yoon. And from the shadows of the back of the stage, you all see a rather tall and thin, but very athletic looking woman who has kind of a fitted suit on and a shirt and a skirt, as well as like high heels. And she, I have her here. She, man, she's huge. I'll have to change her thing real quick. And Miss Drescher moves out of the way so that she can take center podium. Some of you might obviously realize who Miss Yoon is. Everyone knows who this woman is. It's just that many of you may not have had any interactions with her. I will say, out of everyone in this room, Juke is probably the only person that's ever even spoken directly to her.
Yeah, I remember. I have a note somewhere that says that she can smell children.
Yes, Juke. Juke, as you're kind of like regaling your new friends with like all of the cool stuff you've been doing, and they're hanging on your every word, but you guys are quieted down for these speeches. You kind of look at Mrs. Yoon come out of the, literally slink out of the shadows. And the way she kind of looks across the room is like someone who's highly like disgusted by the fact that she's around so many children. She comes up to the podium as the teachers all sit. Everyone is finished clapping. And she just goes, "It is such a great pleasure to see the faces of Shady Creek's future. I hope you all enjoy the festival this year. As Principal Drescher says, it was almost perfect. I'm sure you're all probably tired of crab apples at this point, but we do have a new batch we've been working on, holding out just for the newcomers and those who weren't able to make it to the festival. Wouldn't want you to feel left out." And as she says this, the three students on stage disappear behind the stage where she kind of came out of, and they emerge with big baskets and walk down the aisles to hand out bushels of crab apples. And they are going to literally just go aisle by aisle and make sure that everyone gets some, essentially, as she continues to talk. And she goes, "As many of you know, the Festival Planning Committee are big supporters of the arts. And we were ecstatic at the musical performances featured at this year's festival. Such talent, like we've never seen before, and local at that. Let's give a round of applause for the I believe they were called Apple Nuns. A local treasure, I'm sure." And she starts to clap. As she begins to clap and everyone else claps with her, she is scanning the room. And Juke, your friends clearly like look over at you like, wow, you're getting like major props here.
Okay, I decided the band shouldn't be named the Apple Nuns.
Too late. And they're very excited. And I'll say Caleb is in the room as well. We'll make him like an empty NPC. I think you saved him a seat, but let's see. Put him in the room. Let's have him move these ladies over.
To be fair, would Caleb be sitting with me or with Juke?
Well, there's no space with Juke. That's the problem. And then Caleb would probably have looked around, tried to find Willow, and know that at least Willow would go to you when she gets here. Well, she would go to one of you, Caleb or you. He probably was like, well, we'll save her a seat. But she never comes, so that's not really a problem. So I will say that that happens. And the people around Caleb kind of look at him because he's been recognized at this point as well. And so now there are a lot of people looking at both Caleb and Juke clapping, smiling, and looking directly at you like, man, that's so great. Congratulations. Do you do anything in this moment, Juke? Do you try to own it or do you try to like look away? Like, what do you do?
I am terrified and I think immediately if people are kind of turning around, I'm going to try to catch like Jimmy and Caleb's eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remind me, like, I think you said something about like the stuff that happened at the Crabapple Festival kind of fading. Like, how clear is all of that like madness to us right now?
I'll say that it's still fairly clear. I think the only thing is that afterwards, you guys didn't have time to investigate like exactly what happened. So you guys left, and then people seemed to be back to normal. You know what happened, but there's just something that was strange in between, and you guys just never revisited it.
Then,
so
yeah,
this is the first time anyone's like brought up anything about the festival in this type.
Yeah, I think, I mean, first of all, how dare there be repercussions for my actions? and yeah, I'm like shocked at the moment and trying to catch the eyes of those two if they're looking back here at all.
Brought it upon yourself.
Yeah, I will say that I think as this woman kind of glances her eyes around, just, and the way that she's moving in this clap is a very like condescending clap, like a slow kind of, she's just trying to get people, you know, started, but she's not it. She's not into the clap essentially. But she looks very poignant, and it, unless you were really like paying attention to her and like how she was doing it, you probably wouldn't have paid attention, but
I'm definitely paying attention to her.
Yeah, I think you and Caleb in this moment are like, crap. And I think Caleb would have looked over at Jimmy and been like, this is not good. Jimmy,
yeah, could I chime in real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry to interrupt. I was just going to try and run over what Jimmy would be doing at this time, if that's all right.
Yes, in 1 second, though, because I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting between Caleb and Maya, you are also going to notice that Maya looks at Pendle, and Pendle looks at Maya, and they both start flipping through that book she took out of the library. But they don't seem surprised, and they're not clapping. They seem to know something.
Hmm.
Okay, so now that you all kind of see the scene in this moment as she's looking out to the crowd, what is everybody doing?
Did Maya and Pendle take the apples when they were handed out? Because I know for Jimmy's part, he wouldn't, and he would try to keep them and or them from taking them.
Great question. Pendle, do you take the apples as they come through?
I am absolutely not taking sketchy crab apples.
you clearly see Pendle like snuff the apples, and not in like a, oh, I'm not really a fan of crab apples, like a, I'm not eating these freaking death crab apples are gonna be lost in mine, like that type of situation. And Maya, she kind of keeps her head a little bit down because she's a little bit more cognizant that people might be watching her. And so she doesn't like immediately rebuff the apples. She just like takes them and then passes them down, but doesn't take any herself.
Makes sense. I think Jimmy more or less does the same thing. And then when the whole Apple Nuns comes up, Jimmy definitely is growing a little bit more rigid and not participating in the clapping and flocking Mrs. Yoon, casting a side glance over to Caleb and back to Juke, kind of with that look of, what the frick did you guys do?
Yeah, and I think at this moment, Caleb, Jimmy, you guys look back, you see Juke, Juke sees you guys, and you're able to...
A little bit of, I told you so in my eyes.
You're able to exchange looks across the auditorium.
Yeah, and Juke is like deer in headlights, like direct eye contact, like, I mean, I don't know what we can communicate here from the back row, but like definitely looking at the two of you for something.
Mm-hmm. This moment is only a few seconds, but in those few seconds, as you all look at one another, Maya and Pendle seem to be talking about something, looking through a book. There seems to be something going on in this room. You three, Jimmy, Caleb, and Jute, look back to the stage, and you see that Mrs. Yoon has completely understood the context here, and she 100% sees these interactions. And she just kind of poignantly looks at each and every one of you, almost as if she's making a mental note. Ah, there you are.
Are people eating these apples? And are these the green apples?
I haven't gotten to that. One moment. As she clocks all of you and the clapping subsides, she simply steps away from the podium. She's done, essentially. And she slinks back into the shadows. Boop. And Principal Drescher actually takes her place again. And, you know, says, thank you so much. And she is about to continue the auditorium, the assembly stuff, like whatever. In the meantime, the three young ladies have gotten to the end here after giving everyone their apples. And they are standing at the back where the doors are.
I'm going to tell all the skater kids around me and be like, just don't eat those fucking apples. They put like fluoride and shit in them. I'm telling you, I mean, I can explain to you later why I know that, but don't eat them.
Interesting. They are at the back of the hall and their baskets are empty. When the apples get to each aisle, they are passed down, and everyone pretty much instinctually grabs a glossy green crab apple, fresh from the apple tree. They smell delicious, look amazing. And you guys can hear kind of like a cacophony of bites as people bite into these apples. And so Juke, as it comes down, remember you're with like a gaggle. There's like a couple to your right and a couple to your left. There's like people in front of you. So you can say like, guys, let's, I wouldn't do that. But unless you're like saying it loud enough to where the entire crowd can hear, like the crowd you're near, you would probably only be able to like tell the people directly next to you or directly in front of you. And also Perfect is directly behind you. So she will be able to overhear.
Yeah, I'm reckless and I think like genuinely scared. So yeah, I'll say it loud.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Debating whether I just stand up on the chair and say it to everybody, but I don't think I'm quite that reckless.
Okay. Well, let's see what Jimmy and Caleb and Maya and Pendle think about this when they realize that everyone has all the apples, the three girls are at the bottom, at the back, and maybe they're still looking at you like, we need to get together and figure this out. And so Jimmy and Caleb, if you guys want to try and be like, okay, well, you know, let's do something, because maybe you don't want Juke to do something reckless, you can all do that stuff at the same time. And then Juke, as you say a little louder so that your entire group can hear that, like, you know, don't eat these apples. Some of them listen to you. They're like, what? Some of them are like already eating the apple. They're like, what? As they're like chewing it. And then Vale in front of you is holding an apple and he hasn't bitten into it yet. And you didn't mean to say it to him, but you said it loud enough. So he kind of turns around and he's like, what? So that's kind of the reaction of like, what do you mean? We eat these all the time. Why would they be, that isn't, you know, they would have a hard time being like, oh, okay. Also, Perfect clearly hears you. And she standing behind you with her basket just kind of looks at you strangely. And she's like, don't be ridiculous. These are the best crab apples Shady Creek has to offer. They're not dangerous. What is everybody doing?
I mean, looking through a book about something.
Mm-hmm. You and Maya are looking through this book, and you both start to like talk aloud to one another. And then Jimmy and Caleb, if you guys want to interact or if you want to try to move, I'm going to need to know what you want to do so I can figure out what you overhear, essentially.
I would definitely try and get, like, if it seems like they've got something relevant to the situation, Jimmy's all in, like, leaning over, trying to see what they're doing. I can't speak for Caleb, although we'll probably have to speak for Caleb. I'm guessing he would probably get involved, but I don't know how.
Yeah, I think let's resolve it one person at a time. So, Juke, you hear Perfect say to you and to everyone around you after she hears you say, don't be ridiculous. These aren't dangerous. And everyone is eating the apples. So that's happening. And you're realizing that you are now surrounded by a bunch of people who are eating these apples. Jimmy, you are sitting next to Maya, and Maya and Pendle are kind of whispering back and forth in like, going through this old book that she checked out of the library. And you can lean in or you can even ask like what they're doing. I think Caleb in this moment though is seeing the red flags all around him. And I think he would be in like a, I need to get to Juke. Me, Juke, Jimmy need to find Willow and we need to get the hell out of here. Like we need to be, we need to have been gone from these people before they turn, essentially. And so I think he is going to like immediately start making a move. Like he's going to try to get up and get out of the aisle. So Jimmy and Juke, Jimmy, what are you doing as you overhear kind of Maya and Pendle? And then Juke, what are you doing now that you've been rebuffed by Perfect?
I guess the question would be, what do I overhear from Maya and Pendle?
Well, do you just overhear, or are you going to actually engage with them?
I'll be like, okay, gotta set my mind in this situation here. I think I would, Jimmy will lean over to Maya and just whisper, what have you got going?
Maya kind of looks over at you, not really sure she should tell you, and then kind of looks at Pendle, and is kind of like, I mean, this is kind of, should we, and she's kind of waiting for you to give her some direction.
Maya, if you've got something going on.
There's two people whispering, I think. I couldn't hear either.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know these people.
Well, I mean, Jimmy's good people. We can trust him.
Get him in on the goddamn whatever the hell.
She kind of looks over at you, Jimmy, and she shows you the book. And immediately when you see it, I believe you are the one that had this information, but I'm still going to ask for a brains roll. It's going to be 6. To simply just remember as much detail about this book when you first see it.
Brain. 9.
Oh, okay. So the book is called American Horrible Hit. No, the book is called The Atrocities of the Apple Nun. And it was found in the American Horrible History section of the library. You remember that this was a book that I think either Mr. Woolock or Vidalia told you about, that because the nuns were, you know, a big issue here many, many years ago, that they have a whole section about them in the different libraries. So you remember that this is a book that's talking about them. You also can tell from the insignia that's on the front of the book. The insignia is the shape of the talisman that you have as well. So you know that information. You've never read this book, though, or like took this book out of the library, so you don't actually know the contents, but you do understand what it is. So she shows it to you. Do you know about the apple nuns?
More than I'd like to. I think we need to get out of here.
Goddamn apple cult. Oh my god.
Yeah. As she kind of like points at Pendle. Yeah. They're like a full cult.
And I know they've been around for a while too.
Which one of y'all are whispering?
Sorry, this is what happens when we have a like hectic conversation. Go ahead, Pendle.
Oh, Pendle's just like a constant stream of it's a goddamn apple cult, it's the Garden of Eden all over again, we're all gonna die, very quietly.
Yeah. Maya kind of looks over at you, Jimmy, and she's like, okay, we don't want to get him worked up because we kind of need to like stay focused right now, but where would we go? What would we do in this situation? This whole time you guys are having this, you know, soft conversation, Caleb has gotten up and he is making his way. He's like, excuse me. He's trying to get through these people to get to the aisle. There's a good amount of people here and he doesn't want to get noticed by Principal Drescher, who's still talking on the stage. She's going through rules and expectations and schedules. She's doing the whole assembly. So he's kind of like crouched down trying to be like as quiet and silent as he can. And I think he's going to just use the thing of like, I need to go to the bathroom. But he also knows that if all of you got up at once, that would be kind of suspicious. So he's just going to go and try to at least get to the back of the room to talk to Juke. So that's what Caleb's doing at this moment.
And I think Juke is already up. Mm-hmm. First, I want to say The Atrocities of the Apple Nuns is also going to be the Apple Nuns' first album.
Oh my gosh.
If we survive.
I see, he hasn't learned his lesson.
But I'm in the back row, so I want to just jump, like, right when Perfect starts, like, contradicting me.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, jump over or step over the back of the seat, like, next to her.
Mm.
And
she's
going
to be like, hey, you can't do that.
I want to just like engage her and be like, no, like I know some stuff about this. Like, seriously, it's mainly I just want to get close to the door. But
I will allow that. You get up at this moment, Jimmy. You are talking with Maya and Pendle, trying to get some information about this book and also trying to make a plan. Caleb is kind of moving. Juke is kind of moving. They're both kind of like, we just need to move. And while that's all happening, someone is going to come through here. And as you are all having these separate conversations, a lot of them quieted, you all hear a bam of a door shut as someone walks in from outside it through the emergency door. And they did it in a way to where they didn't care if it slams shut. So everyone turns to this person, including Principal Drescher. And she just sort of looks over at him. And it is dead quiet now. So I'm just going to say, in this dead quietness, anything you do or say right now is probably going to get noticed. So just keep that in mind in this moment. But Principal Drescher looks over and she looks really annoyed. But she's just going to be like, Jam, I don't even take a seat or something. And he sort of, the gentleman that just walked in is another teenager, but he's clearly a little older than everybody. Perhaps this is his second senior year. He's wearing like a leather jacket. He has like dirty black hair that's clearly like dyed. And he's wearing like fingerless gloves. He's giving coolness, like a lot of coolness, obviously, but he's also giving kind of like dangerous coolness. So he's not he's not particularly popular. Let's just say that. Like, people don't actually like hanging out with him or talking to him because he's a really bad influence. So he's going to walk up here just to find a seat, and he's going to notice that all of these are empty until he gets back here and sees that your seat is open. And so now he is behind you. He's on the other side of Perfect. And then we're going to come back to Principal Drescher now looking out at the crowd again. And she's like, anyway, where what? And before she even continues, she sees Caleb. And she's going to be like, "What? Listen, wait, this is going to be a quick assembly and then everyone can go. I need everyone in their seats until we are done. Young man," and she points to you, Juke, and she points to Caleb, and she asks you both to sit. What are you doing, Juke?
I'm super torn. These three girls are still standing at the back of the room too, right?
Yep.
Poor Willow. Book it.
Yes, you have the two girls to your left, Perfect right in front of you, and then right behind her is Jam, and he's literally kind of like pushing her out of the way to take your seat.
Yeah, so I think Juke probably also like immediately has a crush on this fifth year senior too, but
of course.
I guess I'll just like shrug and like lean up against the wall. There's no place to sit.
Yeah.
Kind of gesture and like stop talking. Like I'm just gonna chill back here.
Okay.
But as close to the door as I can be.
Okay. I think even though she doesn't see you sit down, I think she needs to move on essentially. What would Caleb do in this situation? Let's see how chaotic I want to make Caleb be because he's not here.
I could see him like telling her that he needs to go to the bathroom and like convincing her.
I could see that too in a small like classroom.
Yeah.
In an assembly of like 100 and something students, he would have to like yell, "I have to go to the bathroom. I'm just heading to the restroom." I mean, he could do that, but that would be a charm roll. He's hit the D20, so that's not too bad. So let's try that. Let's have him.
I feel like that's distinctively not Caleb.
I agree. That much I don't think he would do that either.
That's fair.
Really loud. But
Willow, because Willow's missing currently. So
correct. But I
he may.
Yeah, I do think that he might be a little shaken at the moment. So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna have him roll grit to see if he can keep it together, and then based on if he can keep it together, then we'll make a decision on what he does like next. Let's roll grit. Let's make the DC. I mean, this is a really stressful time. You guys have all seen what these apples do. I mean, if I was him, I would also want to get out as soon as possible. But at the same time, it's been probably, what, like 3 minutes, three, 4 minutes since everyone got the apples and have been eating them. And nobody's done anything yet. Miss Drescher, Principal Drescher seems fine, but at the same time, he also doesn't know where Willow is. I think he'd be conflicted. So let's make the DC, I'm going to assume let's make the DC 6. So not too high, so they're kind of normal. Okay. He thinks about maybe, you know, losing it at this moment, but he's able to keep it together. And he simply just kind of like comes back here and he's just going to wait for another opportunity. Like, she wasn't paying attention to him before and she only paid attention to him when somebody came in and distracted her. So I think he's going to just wait until everybody goes back to like kind of talking, and he's going to try to sneak out again. But I think after he realizes that he can't leave right now, he's going to look back to Juke, but Juke, you're going to be gone from your seat. So that is still going to like freak him out. But I think at this point he's going to turn to Jimmy and be like, "Oh, Juke's gone."
Could he still see me since I'm like standing right behind where I was sitting? Or
he'll see the skater kids in front of
him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he'll see Jam, who has taken your seat. So he's like looks over at your seat and he's like, "Well, wait, where'd he go?" And then he just like looks back at Jimmy and he's like, yo, we need to get out of here.
Where is Miss Yoon in all this?
What was that?
Where is Miss Yoon?
So she has just disappeared. She has just gone. Who's this? Oh, that's where Markham is.
Is there any chance I can see where she's went, or is this a full on disappearing act?
Well, if you wanted to investigate where she went, so just like a regular like stage, there's like the stage and then there's the back of the stage. So she disappeared into the back of the stage because that's where she came from. That's where the apples came from as well. So you'd have to get like to the back of the stage.
I see. Well, okay, but she left through the back of the stage. That's good to know.
Yes.
Okay.
Does anyone want to do anything now? So I'm going to say that things have kind of calmed down. People have gone back to kind of listening to Miss Principal Drescher drone on and kind of talking and eating apples.
Did any of the skater kids like listen to me and not eat the apples?
I think after you got up, after Perfect said something, after Jam came, like they kind of forgot. Like they may have like heard you and then been like, what? But then it was immediately rebuffed by Perfect. And then they were like, okay. And then they saw they had an apple and started eating it. So one of those situations. So I will say that everyone has eaten the apples at this point that grabbed the apple. And Miss and Principal Drescher continues to draw on about, and don't forget, we actually are celebrating 6 holidays this year. We had a petition through the city council, and make sure that you have your schedules, and so that's what's happening right now. So I think you would look over at Jimmy and be like, we got to try to get out of here, like right now.
Jimmy would definitely side whisper over to him and then to Maya and Pendle. We need to meet up. I don't know. Can we get out? Otherwise, we can meet up after the assembly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maya kind of looks at you and then looks at Pendle and she kind of shrugs. Just like, I mean, I guess. What are we going to do? You want to look at the book? Why did you guys choose that name? She looks over at Caleb. And I think Caleb's just going to throw Duke under the bus. Technically, Duke, the guy I'm in the band with, he chose the name. So, I don't know.
I can tell you that Caleb believes that Duke cleverly chose the name as a way to, like, not, like, to protect us. Because, like, they couldn't come after us if... I don't understand the logic exactly, right. But that's Caleb's belief, and Duke like went along with it.
Yeah, that is an interesting logic. I think as the assembly continues, you guys can at this point. I think Caleb is like, we need to leave. We need to find Willow. We need to like figure out like what these apples are going to do to people, so that we can like not be around them. And I think Maya is a little confused. Like, I think Jimmy and Caleb, you can both see that Maya doesn't quite believe that something's wrong with the apples. Probably because she just has never seen that before. Pendle
100% believes there's something wrong with the apples.
Okay. So what are you guys? So I will say that you can make a choice here. You can try to do something while the assembly is going on, or you can like fast forward. You can just sit in the assembly and like just wait until it's done.
Is there a fire alarm nearby?
Yes, of course. It's an auditorium. They have to have one.
Yeah, but is it in like reasonable? I could just get up and kind of pull it, or would I have to go like up on stage and then go kind of to the corner where it is?
No. In an auditorium like this, it would be like visible, and I think they have to have, I don't know exactly, but I think they have to have like 2 in this side of the room, so maybe there'd be one up at the front and one up at the back.
Usually there's one by almost every major door.
Well, there's exit. There's an exit door up front, so there would be one there. And then there's a door. Then there's a double door in the back. So there'd be one in the front and one in the back.
So I'm just gonna look at Maya and be like, I could pull the fire alarm.
You'd have to get to it from where you are, though.
And no one notices me.
Do you have unassuming? Is that why? Or are you just because you're small?
A mix of both.
I think Pendle has unassuming. And
yeah, Pendle has unassuming.
So I think if you guys are trying to pull the alarm and make sure that someone does get seen, your best bet might be Pendle.
So I'm just looking at Caleb and the green one that I forgot the name of, and Maya, and going, I could do it. I could pull the fire alarm. Should I pull the fire alarm?
Maya is not really on board with this idea. She's like, that sounds like a really bad idea. Especially if you get caught.
I won't get caught.
I think Jimmy would come to bat for a Pendle on this one. He would like whisper over to Maya, Maya, this is a serious problem. It'd be good for us to do something. And something soon.
Yeah, I think Caleb would back you up on that as well. He'd be like, no, like seriously, like we can't explain it right now, but we need to get out right this moment. Right now.
I'm gonna pull the fire alarm.
Do it.
Okay. Roll your flight. And what's your unassuming?
Two adversity tokens to not be seen.
Okay. I think I gave you two.
Yeah, that's exactly how many I have.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and roll.
Flight, you said?
Yeah, flight. Your DC, because with unassuming, your DC is going to be 3.
Oh, big money. Pendle needs a new 4.
Barely. So Pendle makes his way. He just kind of, like, Pendle, how are you getting? So I'm going to say that the alarm is, like, right, like, at the doors where Jam came in. So you'll have to, like, walk down right next to the teachers. So, like, how are you just, like, trying to get down there completely unseen?
I'm just walking like I totally belong and I know exactly what I'm doing. And there's no reason to have any suspicion because I clearly know what I'm doing.
Okay. You all, and then Juke, where are you looking at this point? As Pendle kind of, I'm going to say Pendle, you're unassuming, I'm going to say, is for like anyone you don't want to see you. So it's going to be like the teachers right next to you and Principal Drescher, but would it be other students as well?
It would be anyone who would like actually care about me pulling the fire alarm.
Okay.
I'm like, the people I was just talking to, no, I'm going to do it anyways. The kids in the back, they probably don't even know who I am. I don't care if they see me do it. It's the staff who would care.
Okay.
I feel like you kind of have to trick everybody has to believe that it's like if people see a person just walked up there and pulled the fire alarm, they'll be like, well, there's no fire. That kid just did it. So probably like nobody sees you.
Yeah. I'm going to say that what happens is people see like Pendle, you stand up, like perhaps you get up and you move, but it's almost like there's like a jump between you getting up and then you moving down to this door, pulling the alarm, and then like literally coming back to your seat. Like literally there's like a gap in everyone's memory of even knowing that happened.
They saw me get up and start walking and they went whatever and went back to what they were doing and just pulled it and sat back down.
So the alarm begins to blare and obviously everyone begins to lose their mind because regardless of how many alarm drills we have, that is always the reaction. It always is and always will be. And so people just kind of look around, confused, wondering where the fire is. And Principal Drescher is up top and she's also kind of like, what the heck? this is okay, kids. This is not a drill. Go, please go into the back doors, ladies. If you could open up the doors back there, and so they become highly distracted and actually open the doors to make sure everybody can get out. And everyone begins to file out of the auditorium. In this moment, as you're all filing out and trying to reconnect with one another, I'm assuming, you all hear in your heads, the Apple Nubs. Such a unique name. I want to thank you for your tribute to the Shady Creek, young men. And you, in your vision goes black. All right, let me know when you're back.
I'm here.
I'm here. I don't know for how long. There's a storm coming in, and my house has a habit of being struck by lightning.
Oh, no. Well, hopefully this won't be too long. This is going to be probably like another 30 minutes.
The dramatic setup for the next portion?
Exactly.
Uh-oh.
Okay. We are back. You all should now see a new map, hopefully.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So, everything goes black. Caleb, Juke, Jimmy, Pendle, and Maya, you all find yourselves standing not in the auditorium, but instead, imagine that these boxes, because I don't have a map with metal bins, but imagine that these boxes are instead huge metal tanks that are boiling and hissing. And they kind of line the rows inside this huge warehouse. So it looks like you were still technically in Madonna High School, but it's not like the Madonna High School you know today. Jimmy and Caleb, you would understand where you are. You were probably in old Madonna High School, like back in the 20s.
Oh, crap.
Also, when you all get your eyesight back and you look around where you are all kind of scattered a little bit in this big warehouse. Juke, you were standing next to this kid you have never met before. Pendle, you were standing next to this kid you have never met before.
I know he's one of the Apple Nuns, don't I?
You do know he's an Apple Nuns. You still haven't ever met him. You see going like down the hallway that you're looking down, you see Maya kind of standing a little far away from you. And she's just kind of, she seems to be confused, standing in a crossway. And you guys just see these huge metal tankers of boiling water or boiling liquid. This liquid kind of has a bit of an acrid smell. If any of you know what alcohol smells like, it smells like boiling alcohol in here. Caleb probably knows.
Yeah. And then Willow.
Yeah, Caleb and Willow. Jeez Louise. That's what it kind of smells like. And you can see that like these distilling pots, because that's what they are, they have these pipes and tubes that go in and out of them that are moving liquid. And this is basically what you all see when you open your eyes. What are we doing?
Do I have my backpack?
You do. You all have your backpacks.
I'm going to immediately start digging for the box cutter.
Okay. Juke, you look to your right and you see this kid immediately start digging in his backpack.
Yeah, I'll probably take like a couple steps back and...
I'm making like, aggressive eye contact.
Yeah. Aggressive. And maybe more than a couple steps back. I'll be like, who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Juke Baldwin.
You're one of them apple nuns.
Oh, you've heard of us?
Oh my god.
They said they talked about you in that accursed
assembly.
I'm gonna just look right into my bag and start digging faster for the box cutter.
Okay. The young man who didn't give you his name is like voraciously going through this bag. He seems a little bit scattered, and walking back a couple of steps probably would not hurt you. Jimmy, what are you doing?
I'm gonna immediately start looking around, seeing if I can spot Willow anywhere, because I haven't seen her since she was taken away.
Yeah. You walk around here and you do smell something that you smelled before. It smells very familiar.
What does it smell like?
Rotten apples.
Of course it does. Those apples.
It's coming from the center of this huge warehouse, and instead of the boxes in the center here, there is actually like a door, like a metal door that goes to what looks to be like a huge place you would store like grain or apples, or it's the storage for whatever they are distilling here for the fruit that they're distilling.
This is the worst kind of place.
As you are walking down the hallway, and you guys can move your tokens, I believe I put them on the board of where you kind of popped out. But as you're moving down the hallway, you also see someone else moving down the hallway, and you can see Caleb in another hallway. And you guys kind of look at each other.
Caleb, are you all right?
Been better? You found Willow or Juke or anybody?
I haven't seen anyone.
Yeah, me neither.
This is the past, isn't it?
I think so. Even if you looked around, you would probably be able to tell just from like the technology around you and the type of distilling units these are. This is very old equipment.
Is there actually a door right next to me?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. I was
you guys
guessing that there wasn't.
Yeah, you guys are in a bit of a box where there are no windows, doors, or other like office spaces. It's literally just a huge thing of these distilleries. And then there's like a box within a box. So like there's like a wall that has doors that is in the middle of the room. And I think while you guys are catching up, Maya turns around and sees Pendle and is just going to like whisper / yell to him. Like, hey.
What?
What are you doing? Where are we?
I don't know. I'm getting the box cutter.
What? And she kind of starts walking towards you. You don't need the box cutter. And then as she gets to you, she looks and notices Juke, who's now quite far away.
Yeah, I think particularly when I heard him say he's getting a box cutter.
Yeah.
I was going to start moving and kind of looking around for somebody that I'm not scared of.
Yeah, Maya kind of looks at you and looks back at Pendle like, man, you're freaking out people.
I'm freaked out. I'd rather be freaked out with a box cutter.
Oh my gosh. And she starts walking into view. Don't mind him. He's paranoid?
I appreciate the term clinically insane.
Okay. she's not making the best argument. but she's like, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I know you're Jimmy's friend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well,
no way.
She ignores that.
No, I don't actually say that as a character. So. Okay. I definitely just say yeah.
Yeah, And she comes up to you a little bit and she's like, look, I got this book. It talks all about the real Abna. Why did you name yourselves after this psycho cult that is known to like do weird sacrifices here in Shady Creek? Did you not think that that would be like an issue?
So in my heart, I feel like saying that it was a really cool band name should be enough, but I think Juke knows that that's not what she wants to hear. So I'm probably going to try to say like some version of what Caleb's been saying. We're like, no, it was like, cause we knew that they were dangerous and we thought that like having the name would tell them that they should leave us alone, you know?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I thought so too.
She also looks at you and she's kind of like, yeah, no, that sounds like a real bad idea. as Pendle and Maya are both looking at you like, no, that's a horrible idea. And you are now giving the blame to Caleb, I suppose. For making the
I'm not saying it wasn't my idea, just I'm trying to say that my idea is some version of what I understood Caleb to think my idea was.
I see. As you all kind of converge over here in your corner, you can now also see that way down the hall is Jimmy and Caleb. You guys cannot hear them and they cannot hear you, but you literally can just see each other.
I have the box cutter now.
Great. When Pendle is holding a box cutter, Maya is looking at him like, would you put that thing away? You're going to scare him. Okay. And she kind of looks at you. Don't mind him. He wouldn't hurt you. He would mainly probably hurt, like, I don't know, aliens or worms that live in the ground.
Mole people, apple nuns.
Right. But not you.
Yeah, the real apple nuns.
In my experience, I think it's most likely to be zombies. But oh, hey, Jimmy's
just break into a kung fu stance.
Jimmy's right down there, so let's go that way.
Maya is behind you, and she is waiting for you to move.
Have either of you seen a door?
As you guys are walking down and you're talking to them, I'm going to say that Maya is going to say no, she's not seen a door. But as you guys are walking, Jimmy, what are you doing?
I think Caleb, you haven't seen Willow. We should probably take a look around, I guess, but be careful. And then Jimmy's going to start going this way, seeing what he can find.
Do you look at Juke or do you see Juke?
I think I'm preoccupied.
Okay. I think Caleb didn't look down the hallway, and so he's just going to start following you as well. However, as you guys get closer to like this side, I'm going to say the door. Let's say the door is on this side, like right where you are, because there's not an actual door, but there is a door. Let's say that there's a door on this side of the wall that you guys are on, and you both start hearing. You start to hear a thrumming noise and almost like there's like a low hum and maybe some chanting.
Huh. Jimmy doesn't want to go in there just yet.
This is the door.
He wants to go in there eventually?
He wants to find people before they do anything stupid.
I will say that the door is not, like, solid. It has a window.
Okay. Oh, I'll peek through the window very carefully.
Okay. I think you and Caleb can kind of see the door, kind of hear that, and then walk to the door to take a peek. In the meantime, Juke and Maya and Pendle, you guys are coming down the hallway. I'll say that at this point, Juke, you're kind of at the end of this hallway, but now they have left or they moved, and so you need mm-hmm. to continue to follow them. But yeah, you're asking Maya, like, have you guys seen a door? And she's like, I hadn't looked. We kind of found you. And then she kind of stops and she goes, you smell that?
Yeah.
Kind of smells like apples or rotten apples or... That reminds me of something. And she starts thumbing through the book as she's kind of following you. And at this point, Jimmy and Caleb, you guys are in front of the door looking through the door. And Juke, you are at the end of the hallway. And Maya is behind you, kind of following you, but she is thumbing through her book. Caleb and Jimmy, you look through the window and you see a railing. So first you see like a hallway that is like going in a big old circle, and the circle has a railing that goes all the way around it. And then you can't really see anything over it, but you can see essentially like what's in the room that you can see right now. So you can kind of see there's a hallway that goes in a big old circle. There's a railing that goes in that follows the circle. So it looks like there's like a drop over the railing. And then you can see, of course, bushels of apples that are just kind of like strewn around. They're on the ground. They're in baskets. They're in barrels. But they're like the middle, like that you can't really see. You'd have to go inside over the railing. The middle doesn't seem to have anything in it. But as you guys are standing there, you can kind of hear that this is definitely chanting. Like several, like a bunch of people chant.
This is cult stuff.
Kind of cult stuff, yeah. It's giving cult vibes. And at this moment, as you guys are just kind of looking through the window, Juke comes around the corner, Maya comes around the corner, Pendle comes around the corner, and Maya's kind of thumbing through her book, and she kind of stops, and she goes, that's right. They need the apples, the talisman, and a sacrifice. And so she kind of looks at everybody, and she's like, nobody go in there. Because we don't want to become a sacrifice. So as long as they don't have a sacrifice, they can't do whatever weird ritual they're doing. So we should be good.
Unless they already have a sacrifice.
What? Well, we're all here. Who would they have?
Oh, it might not be one of us.
Well, Jimmy looks panicked at Caleb for a second.
Maya points at her book like, no. It has to be someone like particular. There's a whole like set of rules here about how they need to be like identified, how they need to, what do I say here? They need to, and she starts to read, and it says that the perfect person to be a vessel that would be able to complete this ritual that can only be done, you know, at certain times of every couple of years is someone who has offered something to what they refer to as the pit and has ingested the true Madonna's soul. That's what the wording.
Well, that should be fine then.
She's like, that's kind of like real specific. I highly doubt anyone has done either of those things.
I don't think any of us would work as sacrifices then.
Exactly.
Unless you people get up to weird things.
I'm going to have Jimmy, I think at this point, Jimmy can roll a brains to see if he can figure this out. I think he would be probably the one person that would probably be able to. And then you can also roll a brain. It's not necessarily to figure out about the sacrifice, but to figure out the specific wording that they're using when they talk about the pit. So both of you make a brains roll.
I don't think Juke actually saw the pit.
did. I think you all saw the pit.
The pit here, yeah, or the pit in the future?
So you all saw the pit at the, what's it called? The orchard.
Yep.
Yes, you all saw the pit at the orchard.
I don't know why. I thought Juke was like just focused on other things and missed all of that. But
the time it was anyway.
Yeah, what? I'm still gonna have all of you who were there in that moment make a brains roll just to see if you can put it together. And your brains roll is gonna be actually a DC 10. Oh my gosh.
Yo.
I'll do.
And here I was gonna try. Yo!
Oh my gosh!
Me too!
Are you kidding?
Let's go!
No!
You can't hide secrets from us.
Three tens!
Oh wait, mine's a 12, so I don't get an explode.
I got a 32.
Is there just like a miscellaneous pipe lying around, like in all warehouses there is?
Yes, you can. Oh my gosh, Caleb also exploded. What is happening?
If there's a second pipe, can I take that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I want the pipe. I'm going to take my tape and tape the box cutter to the end of it and make a spear.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Pendle is making a full weapon. At this moment, even though Pendle doesn't actually know what's going on, he's just being prepared. Because why not? Maya is also quite confused because she's kind of like, I mean, I think we should be fine. We should just stay away from whatever you're doing in there so that none of us become a sacrifice, is what she's saying. At this time, you know, Jimmy and Juke, and I would say, I think he had a 6. So that's a fail, but it's not that big of a fail. I'm going to give...
For Caleb or who?
Yeah, for Caleb, sorry. Caleb rolled a 6.
Can I give him adversity tokens to help him get this too?
You certainly can.
Because I have, what is it, loyal and adversity tokens I spend to help friends count as 2.
Excellent. Wow.
So I will spend 2 to make his 10.
The moment, this is crazy, the moment Maya says those words of someone needs to give an offering to the pit and ingest the true Madonna's soul. You three all remember at the same time that one moment that Willow, when you guys were breaking into the orchard in your, I think it was like the second session or something like that, but like this was like your heist to figure out what was going on in there for Grouper. You all remember this moment that she indeed ate one of the apples from the ground that was their new batch and then chucked it into the pit. I'm gonna say with such crazy rolls, you all know right now, without even needing to look, who is in the pit in the middle of this circle right now. In this room. And that is where we'll end our session.
Yeah.
Insane. Absolute insanity. That's hilarious.
Yo, Pendle.
Yo, Pendle. Jimmy and Pendle are going to get along great.
That's good.
Can I throw out like an idea? I just got a 32 on that roll. Juke is always looking for an exit. Mm-hmm. Could he get like some kind of a clue as to like a way out of here? You can think about it for next time, but that's,
yeah,
put 32 is ridiculous.
Put that in your notebook.
Okay,
so that I remember as well. But yeah, no, I think both of y'all roles were crazy. I mean, I did a 10, for goodness sake. I did not know that they were gonna get so that was insane. And I think because all three of you figured this out at the same time, you could also all kind of, you know, make a plan or think about some extra things you might want as we go into you all figuring out what to do next now that you suspect that Willow is in a lot of trouble.
There is no plan. Duke and Caleb are going to have to stop Jimmy from going in immediately.
Oh.
I like how I'm the least informed, but most prepared.
Thank you all for listening to the Aging Journey podcast. We hope you are enjoying the campaign. Don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on our podcast website, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Lists will be in the description below. Don't forget to follow and subscribe. You can support the podcast on Patreon or join our Discord. Enjoy the journey.